Welcome back to The Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about the executive executive. Courtney, an old friend and fellow executive coach, was exploring an interesting topic with one of her clients, a woman named Divya. During her coaching conversations with Courtney, Divya had wondered, what did it actually mean to be executive? Discounting her company's specific culture and quirks, what, Divya wondered, do great executives share, no matter the corporation or industry? When Courtney reached out to me asking for my thoughts about Divya's question, I was intrigued. Courtney and I have known each other a long time. We enjoy talking about most anything, coaching being one topic we visit often. We scheduled a Zoom call to share our thoughts. I began by asking her, do you know what Divya's idea is about it? What does she think executive looks like? She's not sure, said Courtney. She's seen a lot of different kinds of executives. She's seen leaders she thought were a hot mess but got promoted anyway, and she's seen coworkers who are top-notch who can't get noticed. It doesn't look consistent to her, which is what prompted the whole conversation in the first place. I asked, and what about you? Where's your thinking on this? She said, I've been asking myself a question. Which is, I asked. Which is, if we could deconstruct what it means to be executive, how would we reverse engineer it? What elements, what qualities would I want to be sure went in the mix? Ooh, that's great, I said, and how are you answering it? Well, I've come up with two that I'm sure about, and they feel just like the tip of the iceberg. I sat up in my chair and rubbed my palms. Okay, can't wait. Courtney held up one finger, then another. She said, resilience and influence. Okay, resilience and influence, I said. Tell me about each. She said, here's an idea related to resilience that Divya and I talked about. I said, one way leaders impress me as being executive is their ability to get over things. Things that at her level might feel like a big speed bump, at the executive level are barely a pea of gravel. What kind of thing? I asked. Let's say taking flack during a meeting. For someone at Divya's level, that can be devastating. I mean, with some of my clients, oh my gosh, we process things like that over two or three sessions. But to me, that's not very executive. At the executive level, incidents like that come and go pretty quickly. They're bigger fish to fry. So is it a kind of maturity? I asked. Well, that's part of it, yeah. If you're going to get over something, suck it up, I interjected. Right, that takes some maturity, for sure, but I call it resilience because I think good leaders just get back up and keep on going. You know, you fight a lot of battles at the executive level, budget battles and vision battles, measurement battles. You get knocked down a lot. If every battle flattens you, you're not terribly executive. I said, I hear don't take it personally embedded in there. Sure, she agreed. If you take things personally, you're going to feel flattened a lot of the time. Amen to that, I said. And then I said, so after resilience was influence, right? What's your thinking about influence? She looked away, gathering her thoughts, then said, at the executive level, I think influence becomes the lubricant for the work. At lower levels, like with Divya, measurement is the lubricant. Everyone at her level needs to put points up on the scoreboard. That's how you get noticed, by the work you turn out. But at the executive level, the work is too complex. You can't put points up by yourself anymore. You have to have relationships. You have to be able to influence. I nodded, agreeing, saying, I talk all the time with leaders who want to build better relationships just so they can keep the gears turning. And it strikes me as funny that at their level, they're so surprised to find out how important relationships are. But in truth, they really didn't need them in the same way before. She said, it's why I love talking with someone at Divya's level about this. If she can build these skills now, she will knock it out of the park later. Won't she? I said. And then I asked, have you two talked about influence skills? A little, not deep yet. We have a lot to talk about. What do you think might help her develop influence? I asked. Taking stock, she said, well, she's Already pretty friendly and easy to be with, that's a plus. But if she's going to influence without authority, I think she'll probably need to loosen up her right and wrong thinking. She's very concrete, very black and white. I nodded in understanding. That would be great to work on. Do you have tools to help people soften their right-wrong thinking? I lit up, saying, I do. I refer people to the book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life, by Merrily Adams. I think that book gets right to the core of it. And for a couple of my clients, it really did change their lives. Making a note, she said, okay, those are my two ideas about being executive, resilience and influence. What about you? What have you got? I took a breath as I shifted out of listening mode. I said, I've come up with three things I would want to put in the mix if we were reverse engineering an executive. She glanced down. I assumed she was picking up her pen. I gave labels to my three: organization, scope, and speed of thought. She said, organization as in the organization itself? No, I said, the ability to actually be organized. I've seen this. This is going to make me sound ancient, but I remember coaching leaders whose assistants would hand them a half a page with that day's schedule printed on it. She laughed, old school, right? But here's why it made an impression on me. This happened a lot in different companies. I would see the leaders do the same thing. As they examined each item, a little checklist would fire in their heads. They'd look at an item and say something like, I've made notes on that report, or I've approved the slide deck for that meeting, or whatever it was, they had done their homework. They were organized. They planned ahead. Every item on their calendar was treated with respect. Courtney was thoughtful. That's a nice way to think of it. I continued, at the executive level, you go from meeting to meeting to meeting, and because none of the topics intersect, you're covering huge chunks of the business. If you're going to cover that much territory every day, you have to be organized. But wait, Courtney countered, Divya covers a lot of territory. She's in 6 or 7 meetings a day, and from my understanding, none of them relate to each other. Well, good, I said. I hope she's organized. She's going to need it. But at her level, the scope of her work isn't as big as her boss's, and that's my second item, scope. To me, scope is this idea of covering big chunks of territory. Executives need to be mentally nimble. They need to stay at a high altitude. They need to compartmentalize their work in a way that lower levels just don't need to. Courtney nodded, thinking, yeah, executives are exposed to a lot. I said, and they are exposed a lot. You mean vulnerable? She asked. No, I was thinking about exposure within the company. If you called an all-hands meeting, how many people would that include? 14? 40? 400? Courtney rolled her eyes. At Divya's company, I think some all-hand meetings are 40,000. I said, think about whoever is speaking at that meeting. That is a lot of exposure. That is big scope. Executives have to be comfortable playing on a big stage. I would be curious to know if Divya's scope was significantly bigger, if she was up in front of a lot more people, how would that be for her? Courtney said, I'm guessing it would be more fun than anxious, but I'm not sure. I said, I use the analogy all the time that being an executive carries the burden of celebrity. You know, someone's always watching you. Someone's judging you. You're never off stage. People you don't even know have opinions about you. I wonder if Divya would welcome that or not. Courtney said, it makes me think of resilience again. You better be able to get over the haters. I said, and scope connects to influence, too. Having a big scope without relationships to go along with it can be a really tough slog. Courtney said, I like that all these intertwine. What about your last one? Speed of thought, right? Does that mean being smart? I said, no. I mean, it helps, but no. Here, I'll give you an example. So this happened just last week. I am coaching a woman who is second in command at a big services company, and she is super smart. I promise you, she is really smart. At our session last week, other than the first 10 minutes, we spent the entire hour and a half talking about one incident with one of her direct reports, and that is typical of our sessions. That is as fast as she can go at the moment. I would say she has not yet developed speed of thought, and to be executive, you need speed of thought. She asked, do you think people can teach themselves speed of thought? "Yeah, I think so," and referred her to an episode on that specific topic. She looked at her notes and said, "Organization, scope, and speed of thought, plus resilience and influence." "Boy," she said, "those are five big building blocks." "Yeah," I said, "and they're not the whole picture." She gave me a knowing twinkle and said, "But it'll help Divya get started on the look and sound of leadership." I love the idea of reverse engineering an executive. I wonder what you would put in the mix. I think that question has been at the heart of this podcast since the very beginning. The question is, what makes the look and sound of leadership? And I think the answer is that there are 100 different ways to slice and dice it. There's no right way. There is your way. Make a choice. Be intentional. What would you be intentional about? You could go into the archive of all the past episodes and you could pick a topic and work on that. You could pick one of the five ingredients that Courtney and I talked about: resilience or influence, organization, scope, speed of thought. You could pick any one of those and start working on it. So what does that mean? Start working on it. I'm going to give you two ideas about how you would work on something. One is related to resilience, and the other is related to influence. And then I'm going to give you some resources if you wanted to work on something. All right, here's an idea about resilience. Number one, in our conversation, Courtney and I both talked about just getting over it, right? Just, hey, come on, don't let everything flatten you. But of course, there's a flip side to that attitude, right? Which is there are things in our lives that flatten us, and we don't always get to choose what those things are. But suddenly, you know, what are we supposed to do? Pretend that we're not upset? And it doesn't matter what you're upset about. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. You know, it could be about that decision that your boss made that just doesn't seem fair. Or it could be about, you know, being a parent at home with kids month after month after month. You know, how do you just get over something like that? I say, maybe you don't. I'm just asking that there be choice. I think resilience is a muscle you can work if you give it focus. If it is your experience of yourself that it is hard for you to get over things, you are probably right. And it will limit you over time. So here's a way to think about getting over things. So I want you to imagine a continuum. On one end of this line is the blob. This is a mass of nerves in a puddle that has been so wounded, it is going to take it a long time to come together again. And on the other end of the continuum is the stone. This is an impenetrable block that was wounded once long ago and has now encased itself so that it will never be wounded again. All of us, everyone on this planet who endures the 1,000 natural shocks of living from day to day, we are all somewhere on this continuum. And no one can be on the 50-50 mark, right? We all have a preference to one side or the other. Here's an idea. If you are anywhere on the blob side, could you begin to work to just put yourself back together faster? Or could you begin to work on having a thicker outer shell? You could measure these things. You could work on improving them over time, like going to the gym. Work on resilience. And it's okay if it feels a little stoic. It can take some effort. That's fine. The show must go on. When I hear the words, the show must go on, I just want to tell you, I had this amazing association in my head. You know, I was an actor, and the show must go on was something I believed in since long before I went to Juilliard. I have a story about a night on stage in front of a packed theater with Richard Dreyfuss in the lead when the show did not go on. And it's an amazing story. I'm not going to tell it to you now because it's a great story. But what I am going to do is I'm going to record this and put it in the feed and push it to you mid-month So if you see a little story pop up in your window mid-month, if you are interested in a really cool theater story, give it a listen. Okay. That was all about resilience. The show must go on. Influence. Here's my second idea. I know a woman who experiences friendship with great difficulty. To her, building a friendship requires like steps on the floor to follow one by one. She wants scripts. She wants a lot of structure to build a friendship. We could argue about whether that's a good idea or not, but here's what she knows. She knows she's on that continuum, and she knows she is way down towards the stone end. And she also knows that that is not going to help her build influence. There are two important ideas about influence that that story demonstrates. First idea about influence, your ability to influence demands that you be able to build healthy relationships with others. And here's number two, your ability to build healthy relationships with others demands that you be in a healthy relationship with yourself. We all have different ways of healing, and we all have different ways of growing. I am going to share a variety of titles of books that have been transformative for some of my clients right after this month's gratitude. This month's gratitude starts with two groups of listeners. The first group is made up of all the listeners who completed the survey that we posted. Thank you so much. And special gratitude to two of the listeners whose names were chosen to win a free hour of coaching with me. They were both from here in the United States, one in Texas, one in Hawaii. Thank you so much for wonderful conversations. It was great. But thank you to all of you. Really, thank you very much. And by the way, there's another survey up this month. These surveys are all in prep for launching a completely new Essential Communications website. We're gathering some information from you to help us get it right the first time. We're interested in a couple questions this month about your professional development, and you will be entered to win an hour of free coaching with me. This month, I'm going to pick two because, you know what, I'm really enjoying these conversations. So I will talk with two of you. The link is in the show notes, or just go to the Essential Communications website. It's essentialcom.com, essentialcom with two m's.com, and you will see the invitation to complete the survey. That was all the first group of listeners. The second group of listeners that I'm grateful to this month were people who went and checked out the website to learn about this course I was offering on the DISC behavioral self-assessment. Five people ended up attending, and we had a great time together. You know, I've been facilitating online learning for years, but this is the first time I've ever come together just with podcast listeners, and it was great. And my door remains open to each of you. Thanks for being there. With all that's going on in the world, with all the distractions that were happening during December, a listener with the username FaveEpi found time to post a lovely review in iTunes. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate what you said. You know, a year ago, in the episode from January 2020, I started a campaign to double the number of reviews in each of the 49 countries where this podcast has an audience. Well, with the pandemic, you know, I just never pushed that, even so. People have been posting all around the world, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am. Thank you to all of you. My final expression of gratitude is to my good friend and fellow coach, Courtney, for such a fascinating conversation. Courtney is such an interesting thinker. I love talking to her. She inspired this entire episode. And by the way, to all the coaches who are listening, stay tuned after the sign-off. I have two things to tell you. Okay, that's gratitude. Thank you. I want to close this episode talking about how you would work on yourself. I want to give you six books that you can use. You're welcome to read all of them over time, but I want to describe them to you in a way and tell you why they are so different from each other so that maybe one will jump out and you would find a place to start. The first title refers back to the one that I mentioned in the episode with Courtney. Change Your Questions, Change Your Life is a fable. It follows one person in his marriage and in his work, as he learns a set of skills that creates change in his life. It is teaching through storytelling. It is not unlike this podcast. If you like that, this would be a good book for you. The Confidence Code. The Confidence Code is written by two women television journalists who, despite having all this outward success, both wished they were more confident. And so they decided to dig into it as journalists. And the book is their journalistic journey into the world of research and wisdom about confidence. And then they close with a great set of tools. If you're a woman who wants to learn more about why your brain thinks the way it does about confidence, this would scratch that itch. Number three, I'm actually going to give you two titles. They're both incredibly valuable. Crucial Conversations or Difficult Conversations. Either one. Both books are going to give you scripts that you can use to help your thoughts and your words. They're going to teach you language that, if you can do it, will get you new results. They're both great. Crucial Conversations is a little more pop, you know, kind of bigger type and simple ideas, lots of labels, easy to grasp. Difficult Conversations is a very easy read. The authors are wonderful, and it goes deeper in thought. I like them both very much. Pick one. Number four, Self-Esteem at Work. This is written by a guy named Nathaniel Brandon, and I love the way he thinks about self-esteem, but I particularly love the sentence stem exercises he creates. If you like journaling, if you like accessing your thoughts through writing, get his books. He lays out a 20-week program that is a wonderful exploration. It's really great. Number five, EQ Applied. EQ Applied by Justin Bariso. If you're on the stone side of that continuum, this book can be really helpful. It explains the concept of EQ, which is emotional intelligence. And then he gives exercise after exercise. If you feel that way, try this. If you feel this way, try that. He is going to show you how to work on it. It's really helpful. Finally, The Four Agreements. I think at this point, many people recognize the title, but they may not have actually read it. The Four Agreements is written for your heart and your soul. It speaks to the inner being within all of us that is connected to each other just by being human. The Four Agreements are agreements you make with yourself. They are very simple, and they are without end. If you would like to have a book where you will interact on a spiritual level, this is your book. In the show notes, there are links to every title, and if you'd like to see it all together with a little bit of commentary, go to essentialcom.com, hit contact, and in the subject line, just put 6 books. I'd love to send you a PDF. My wish is that you can find a book that will spark you. I hope this is your year where you can devote time and energy to your personal growth and professional development. And of course, aside from the books, please help yourself to the resources on the Essential Communications website. Please, that's why they are there. This is the 15th year I've been publishing these coaching tips. There is a lot in the archive. And when you're there, by the way, don't forget, fill out the survey. Okay, if you want to dig into 5 episodes, 2 of the 5 might be the ones that I mentioned to Courtney during our episode. Don't Take Anything Personally, that was one, and Speed of Thought, which is, the episode is called Speed of Thought. 3 others you might listen to are Executive Presence, 3 Pillars, and one of the pillars, by the way, is Altitude, which directly relates to scope that I talked about here. One called Influence. Influence is a whole gigantic thing, right? I slice and dice it in a particular way in that episode. And then finally, Shouldering the Burden of Leadership, where I talk about the idea of executives as celebrities. I hope you enjoy working on yourself. I wish us all a lot of grace in this new year of 2021. Don't forget, coaches, stay tuned, and please fill out the survey Okay, that's it for me. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening. Hi, coaches. Okay, coaches, I want to tell you about two things. First, I want to let you all know that a new year of meetings is about to begin. I know some of you have been coming to these meetings, and it's been great to have you. What meetings am I talking about? These are special interest group meetings that are sponsored by ICF Los Angeles. International Coach Federation Los Angeles chapter sponsors the executive coaching special interest group that I have been hosting the past 3 years. We average about 60 people on the call. We break up into small groups. We talk about something related to coaching. We come back. We share. We all show up as learners. There are newbies there. There are dinosaurs like me. Come join us. It's a blast. Our first meeting is Friday, February 12th, and we start at 9 a.m. here in the Pacific time zone of the United States. We're going to have a total of 6 meetings this year. The dates for the entire year are in the show notes, but so is the link to the ICF LA website. That's where you'll need to go to register. ICFLA.org. Choose special interest group. Give us a look. And listen, if this is a year for you to grow your own coaching skills, I just want to say, look around our chapter. We have a lot of resources for you. So we would love to have you. Okay. Next, second thing, I want to tell you about something that I heard about from my friend Courtney. And I just adored it and thought, I want to share this. You may know the name Michael Lewis. Michael Lewis is a journalist and an author. He wrote the book Moneyball that became a movie. He wrote the book The Big Short, which became a movie. He wrote The Fifth Risk, which was about the government transition under Trump. Michael Lewis is a great observer, but he is, above all, a fantastic storyteller. Surprise, surprise, Michael Lewis has a podcast. And the second season is all about coaching, different kinds of coaching, but all about guiding people through change. I ate it up. I binged the whole season in one day. The podcast is called Against the Rules. Check out Against the Rules, Michael Lewis, Season 2, which is in 2020. It begins with an episode called Don't Be Good, Be Great. That's it. Bye, coaches.